Mr. Gormley, Reel 22. We're talking about the camp that you were in when you first came into Egypt, which was a tented camp, for in effect a division, but obviously you were in your own little sections or regiments or whatever.
Our section, we had our own section here. That was the whole of the regiment. And next to us was the Cumberland Highlanders. And they had their own section.
Do you know which battalion? Do you know which battalion of the Camerons? First battalion.
The first battalion Cameron Highlanders. And they were on it was further inland from where we are, where we were right on the next. And I mean, they used to play the bloody bagpipes every morning for everybody, you know, they'd let the cater wall and all. And all they got on very well, we shared the same canteen, it looks like, because they made it, you know, one canteen for the lot, right, you know. And we had I think there was a continuation from there, like, you know, the sand stretches from us, it went uphill, and it was very deep, and it was pulling from that to walk up. And the first thing that this donkey Venom did, he said, right, he said, I'm going to give you the choice. He said, this morning, he says, anybody that wants to climb the pyramids, you can go and climb the pyramids. That's a free tea ticket. So, and anybody else who wants it, they can just stop here and go and have a free tea, you know. But he says, who's volunteering to go up there with me? And I'll just have to do the fitness study that he's doing. I know it. He's a fitness study. And so I volunteered. There was many volunteers that didn't. A lot of them were in the physical district where they sort of came in and probably didn't have a head for heights, you know. Because I never realised it. You think it's dead easy to get up, you know. But it's not. You're climbing up. There is what they call the easy way up, but there's no easy way. It's a hard way. It's all the way to high.
And this was a PT exercise.
That was, it was funny, like, because we would do that rather than do PT, then we'd all put jumping the boat with the sand in that. We would just put it with that boat on there. We'd just go there and we'd climb up. We would climb up 9 times out of 10, we would climb up there rather than jump the boat there and sand.
And was this every morning exercise?
Not every morning, no, it was not every morning, but some mornings you would say, you know, like, come on, we'll have a lot of pyramids today.
You mentioned that you shared the canteen. Was it just the usual typical British food you were getting, British Army food you were getting?
Oh, yes, sure. Yeah, that really good food in the country, you know, because we had our own cook. All the cooks were Indian. These cooks should all, the Indian cooks should all come from India with us. It was only the English good cooks. All the rest of the line of communication stuff, the armour, like the bringing the ammo and everything, and the wireless and things like that, and looking like the actual wireless between.
Do you recall the Indian regiments that were with you?
Do I recall them? Oh, yes. These were all part of the regiment.
They just did the carrying and the. But the Indian infantry regiments that were with the division, do you recall those?
Yes, well, the Baluchis, the Afghans, the Pashtuns, But then we bring it over the brooches. The wallies. Seeks. Maracas.
Well, presumably they would be in their own little particular containment camp.
Yes,
yeah.
They
didn't mix in a sense with each other.
No, they didn't mix. No. Good fighting men would all remain entirely separate. The Sikhs were separate. The Lords were separate.
Were you divisional artillery or were you attached to a brigade at this point in time?
Well, at this point in time, we were all it was the 1st Field Regiment, the 4th Field Regiment, and the 31st Field Regiment. That was the three regiments of artillery that was with this brigade. So
and you were howitzers?
We were howitzers, and we were 18 pounders.
Just 18 pounders at that time. They hadn't got 25 pounders. It was the old.
There were three regiments of artillery, and with each regiment of artillery, there would be the cameraman, not the HR, that was Bushes.
British battalion, plus
all the line of communication and that beyond, which were all predominantly Indian, you know.
Had there been any changes to your own officers at this point? Still the same
just
commanders?
Just a few. Captain Corbett. He replaced Daddy Holmes. And he replaced Daddy Holmes.
But not many. There were still basically the same Indian officers. Were these Italian soldiers or from ships or what? Did you find it easy to settle in to Egypt?
Oh, yes, no problem.
How did you find the Egyptians?
It's not that we had a great deal to do with them, because we were more or less out of the camp. We just come in and went and seen what we wanted to see. They, you know, I mean, the first thing everybody got to not to like to see was the big butterfly. Yeah, you know, and then what? I mean, it was a sight to make you excited. I mean, you go down there and then here. And then he jumped from this window and that window and the other window, and he used to go down this and just say, I'm all right looking at me, and I'd get the interview on the camera. He wanted to spend it. Told me he told him up in the camp hall, don't we have to see a garden in that way? I mean, they should get you coming that night, you know. So, the way they wanted to go, this is then they were going to have got, but they were all doing something like that, and they were going to have done this and that. But I was like, I was a fitness fanatic, you know.
But you'd been warned about VD and so on.
It was an education itself just to go down and just to listen to them.
Was VD rife within the army?
It wasn't rife.
Were there any other health problems with the Egyptian climate that you hadn't had in India?
No, of course we've already experienced the humidity up on the northwest front here. We've experienced the same desert, and this was more or less a continuation of what we had there. It was exactly, more or less to us, it was exactly the same as what we had for the last 12 months before we came from there. And we were out every day. By the way, if I'd been promoted by this time, I was a man's bombardier, wouldn't pay it. I had to keep me here over 6 months and I get paid. So I was a man's bombardier, wouldn't pay it, and I was appointed the battery driver, instructor. So I had more or less can't work with being battery driver and instructor. And I had a lot of different people I used to take out every day, and I always made sure that we had the tips for the environment of where they carry on, not outside, and I would come back and stop them a cup of tea out of here, where I was currently available.
And these were with learner drivers?
Learner drivers. I mean, I can tell you one in particular, I told him straight away, he was a fellow called Light. Darcy Light came from Hartlepool. I seen him since enough. And he's learning to be a driver. Or he's failing to be a driver. And he went to put up this big 9 foot body wagon. So the 3 foot road. There's a cart there, there's a bollard there. That's one of the great ones, he's on the top.
And as part of your task was that to see that the wagons within your battery were cleaned and polished and what have you, kept up to standard?
Oh, yeah.
Was that part of your responsibilities as well? Were they reliable in Egyptian conditions, these wagons?
Oh, yes, the wagons we had. By then, of course, we've got the CDS windows, which we already had in England. The finest room tool that was ever built by anybody, anywhere, anytime, especially for food goods. And we saw people in the old days, and they were trying to come to the mountain like that.
Yes, we have talked about them. They were a fine vehicle.
Oh, yeah, but we never had vehicles that could do that. I mean, we had them in England, but we never tested them on the mountains and that, not like we did over there. and but they're all fantastic people.
Were you doing a great deal of training in Egypt?
Oh yes, every day. Every day we were out, we go on maneuvers, and this was mainly to get used to driving in sand and rock. Because it's surprising how much rock there is in the desert. But there's a lot of sand as well. And we and got to the point where, and I know this because I was seconded to the Australian division to teach them how to drive in sand.
And was this what, after the war, when the war started?
No.
Pre-war.
When the other day first came over, and I was coming to them to teach them how to drive on the sand, how to look at the sand and say, that's the way. And if you can do it, you know you're there, because you know you're going to get bogged down. You go around. Around that way or around that way. And you can work your way around like that. And very rarely you get bogged down.
What about navigation? Was that being taught to you in the desert? Desert navigation?
Yes.
What were you?
We only done that in Hyderabad, you see.
Of course, that was a desert area, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a complete desert area, so we had been taught that, like, how we work on a compass bearing all the time, you know. How you deviated, you always came back to that compass bearing where you wanted to be, like, you know.
How did you mark your compass bearing? I mean, you have the metal of the truck around you. How did you know?
The demagnetized thing. You could use it any time. If you wanted to, you just walk away from the truck. And you stop the truck and walk away from it like this to correct yourself, more or less.
You hadn't been introduced to what ultimately became the desert compass, the... some kind of device on the truck which pointed you in the right direction.
No, really,
you hadn't then had a desert compass.
No.
Did the lorries require any changes to them because of sand coming up into the engine or what have you? The problem of driving in sand.
We went through the sand. This was prior to the war, actually. The was actually there. There was lots of steel. When the infantry carriers is still us, and we're going to do a big exercise, and it all got bogged down. And these CBS women who got doing that, we reached every infantry carrier out of the sand. We rinsed it all up. We took our own rinse, and we went back in, and I admired it out, and long as we share, going through sand, and the body of the sand was up as far as the stick, and I can actually say that cylinder was white hot, not red hot, white hot. Thumping up, thump, and it just gathered it in, and then you reached the anything you wanted to bring to them, and we actually reached the whole of the infantry division out of that morass. And then those ladies did that. Unbelievable, too. I wouldn't be able to say it if I hadn't actually watched it and done it again.
Were you taught navigation by the stars at night?
No, I never bothered about that.
You didn't get any of that, did that?
No, I didn't bother about that. No. I mean, I suppose that's a question. I mean, the stars better than that. I never bothered about it. I've done that with all that.
Were the lorries painted for sand camouflage?
Oh yes. They're always camouflaged.
And they've been painted a sandy colour, presumably.
I remember playing football against Tom Finney. That's a queer thing to bring up at this time, but that's at the time. These people had crossed the boat and they've been brought down to our camp, the engineers. They had been brought down into our camp, and they were staying at our camp overnight. And we were football. I said, is there a pitch on here? I said, oh, well, it's what we call a pitch. I said, but it's a good enough. I said, but we can have a game on there. And I was watching this boat, dribbling about that. I telling me. And I didn't know at the time, right? He says, and I thought, yeah, I was the king of that. And I said, mate, I'm going to the mass, and that's what I was. He said, but he can't. He says, he's so crazy. I said, Tommy Finney from Preston. I said, Tommy Finney, I didn't mean to put Tommy Finney on and be the door that long.
When you were seconded to the Australians, how did you get on with those?
Oh, great. I was only there with a cushy, I only took them on and I showed them, I just told them what to look for.
Their discipline and so forth was supposed to be different from the British.
The officers were there. They took notice of the officers, but there's no way like they want to be slamming this down or slamming that down.
What happened? You were there obviously some time. The war would start presumably at some point.
Well, before the war started, particularly. This was Christmas time, yeah. Well, we had any Christmas. We were still in the camp there. I mean, there was other people had gone up to the front here, and we were still in the camp there. I mean, because there was always a force on the front here. They were always up there all the time. The Lemington Valley, they were up there. The North England Fusiliers, they were up there. Not the best of us. Anyway, there was quite a number of troops already up there, right? And I remember this Paddy Campbell, this guy there, did the sit in the field. This baby man stuff came up to me and said, right, Campbell, come on, get yourself up and get yourself away from Paddy's bed. I always remember this, two of them sitting there, and he just looked at him and he said, you can put You can put her up, he said. This is amazing. He says, you can put her up, he said. 365 or 4 days of the year is yours, he said. This day's mine, he said. Now, I'm having it today. He said, so if you can put her up, I'm moving with nobody with sardines.
When did you hear that war started? Do you recall what you were doing at the time? When the news came through?
Well, that would be, August?
It was September the 3rd, wasn't it? 1939.
Yeah.
Did things change immediately for you?
Further 64 days of the year's yours, he said, this is mine, he said, I'm on mine today. So the next day, we all came up for the Christmas dinner, for the breakfast on the Christmas dinner, he stood in the queue, and this Wagstaff walked up with him and he says, hello, Campbell, all right? yes, sir, he said, like a book, and I said, yes, sir. He said, you told me yesterday I had 364 days of the year on mine and you were having yours yesterday. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, right. He said, well, he said, I would just like you there. And they put a big stack alongside which used to burn on the fire. And I said, I would just like you to move them from there over to there. Go on, Paddy, shit them back. Go on, Paddy, shit them back. Get clapping. and he gets them all there, and he goes, he just backs up in front of an officer, and he just comes back in the queue again, and he's just going up with his, going up with his, the white staff walking up, and he says, yes, he said, he says, yes, he said, I'll tell you what, he said, I don't like them there, he said, I'll just take them from there and put them back there. And he made them take the whole video and put them back where he took them from in the first place. And he said, by the way, he says, just remember, he said, 365 years of mine. You've got no bloody days at all.
The war had been on some 3 months then, hadn't it?
Oh, yes.
By the Christmas. But you still hadn't moved. You were still in the same place.
No.
Were you doing any training as a division?
Oh, yes. We were training as a whole division. Even then. Okay? We were training. I mean, we already had the experience of being on sand and that. Okay? But the camels and all that, you know, they were used to the sand and that. And they had to get used to it all. That's what I'm saying. That to train them all, we were training with them.
Did you recall when you did move up into the desert?
Well, they moved up just after the Christmas, actually, because I can always remember that incident happening. By the way, there was a little fellow called Joey Gunness at the time. A little fellow called Joey Eastwood. He took the place of a fellow who took him and being sent off. And second best time that he was. And I'll never forget this because it's true. And I was down to one of the shifting ammo every day, every third day, just to shift the ammo and turn it to stop the sweating. You see? Every third day, that ammo had to shift and return, shift and return, shift and return. So he was in charge of the first detail, like with me. And we'd been in this many, many times before. And he called like him. Right, he said, well, that ammo shifted over there. I said, right, that's the way that. So after about an hour, I said, hey, but I've got the smoke kit, you know. So I goes over with Joey's for us and said, can we have a smoke, sir? Smoke? He said, oh, no, I can't have a smoke. He said, you can't smoke yet. He said, no. He said, we finish this lot off, and then we can have a smoke. Yes, we can have a smoke then, he said. No, we should have a smoke in front here. So I went to the lad and said, right, keep your pedal fans in, that's his handy. Because right next to the start, the sky, the bottom, we were just moving. This is what they call a smoke shell. That's a proper smoke shell. I said, keep your thumbs and matches handy. So as soon as we got the smoke shell back, I said, can we have that smoke shell, sir? Yes, we'll have the smoke now, he said. 10 times, come on, make that. Oh, come on, the wheel. The very smoke. Stop it. He's choking you down all over the bloody place.
But you moved after Christmas. You moved away after Christmas.
But anyway, we moved just like that. It just couldn't remain that way. It's story well worth telling because it's true. It turned out lovely. It really turned out really fine.
So you moved after Christmas, you say. Where did you go?
Well, the rest of the division went straight to a place called Martin the Bush, which is about 100 miles from the desert. We, fortunately, were sent to Alexandria. And we went to Alexandria. And we formed the defense through the port of Alexandria. And we just a 4 or 5 hours of battle, just us. And then the coast team guys, and the things all the way off the lighting. We were the defense of Alexandria. And mind the coast team guys were all in the station there. That was there. They had their own, the things all the way off the lighting. They were everybody out there, but we were in the line quarry actually, where we had a anxious in the line quarry covered over. And we were quite comfortable with that. And we were there, and the guards, they were one of the big
Because the war against, it was the war against Germany. Italy wasn't in yet. Italy didn't come into the June of 40, didn't it? June, July 40.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this time, you weren't really...
No. We were just up there. As I said, the 14 year deal had moved up ready for the year for anything that happened. Yeah. And we were left in Alexandria. This was just at the top of the road. This is up on the town. And we had only kind of said, as long as the swing down left to keep the gun going. As long as the three men left on each one, the sergeant gave permission to anyone else to do that patrol, which he was a different person.